Father, we just thank you for the great privilege of being in your presence today. We thank you because you are present here with us. We thank you because you have made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. Father, we thank you because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
Open our understanding, open our hearts, prepare our hearts, and help us, O Lord, that when we hear your word, we should act on it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for my wife's testimony. There was one part of the testimony she did not say. That was, yes, because we've been trusting God for, and we believe God for children. And when I was shot, there were two bullet wounds that were just between the groin, on the left and on the right. And there were such huge holes. So it was as if the devil wanted to, what's the word? What's that word? Those people that serve the princesses and
castrate.
Something the devil wanted to was determined that I would become a eunuch or be castrated. So for the first few months at the hospital, we were not sure what would be the result of that injury. But thanks be to God, because even the nurses and doctors were wondering that such a big hole. She told me that the one on the right side, if you look through it, you could even like see into my intestines. But that's
that far, but you could see the hole.
That was a deep hole. But funnily enough, it closed miraculously. So we thank God because we're serving a God of miracles.
Amen.
How many minutes do I have, Pastor Mark?
15. You have. I tend to think about half an hour is good, but if you have, you're not under any time.
Okay, thank you very much. Because I was preparing this message when Pastor Mark told me on Saturday, and then this morning. I was so happy because I prepared it in my mind. And this morning, we were at the service, and Pastor Mark preached the message. So I said to myself, oh, stop, don't go any further. But he just kept on and said everything I was planning to say. So I said to myself, but our God is so good, you know. When we came in this morning, Brother Harry said, oh, we should share a word in Scripture. And he mentioned Romans 5. But he did not speak on Romans 5. He now went to... And so I said to myself, this is strange. He mentioned Romans 5, but he went somewhere else. But something inside me told me that this is what God wants you to do. I said, no, but I already have my message. Oh, that was when we were praying very early in the morning. I said, I already have my message. And so when Pastor Mark now preached the message, I said, oh, no wonder God was telling me Romans 5. So praise the Lord. Yes, this message... you would bear with me. My wife says I have the tendency of going all over the place, as she calls it. She's my greatest critic. So sometimes I'm happier when she's not around. Yes, always having strange looks on her face. Romans 5. Let's start from Romans 4:24. Romans 4:24 says down to Romans 5:11. It says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up. Okay, let me start from 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, talking about Abraham and his faith. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Here in 5 verse 2, we see, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In 5:11 it says, and we also, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we see joy, rejoice. Now this is something that joy is not in the same category with happiness. And the word of God tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it becomes imperative that the life of the Christian is a life of joy. But do we experience that in our day-to-day Christian walk? He says, we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience. So now we have joy and we have glorying in tribulation. In another part of the scripture, it says, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials. And so joy is central in the Christian life and should be the barometer with which we measure our lives. We should never get to a place where we go on plodding, trudging day from day, and there's no joy. Why? Let's go to the book of... Yeah, the why is contained in this, but let's go to 1 John. 1 John. Yes, it says, that which we have heard, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. So you see again here that we have a fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ is Lord. The Son, our Lord. Now, what else can we ask for? He says we were dead in sin when we had no strength. There was no way we could help ourselves. It's like a baby in the womb. He's helpless. He's dependent on the mother. Yet God raised us up. And what kind of love did God raise us up with? He gave what neither of us, any of us cannot give. His only begotten Son. Somehow or the other, in my early days of conversion, maybe because I was a lawyer, I reasoned this out. And I had a nice argument with Sister Mary. Not an argument, a discussion with Sister Mary today. And what did I think? I said to myself, if God is God, he can have 100 only sons. So if he should sacrifice an only son, he has the ability to make another only son. So it's not really a pain to him. So I undercut the foundation of my Christian faith. I no longer appreciated the magnitude of the sacrifice. But then, throughout the Word of God, we hear that God is good. In 1 John again, it says, God is love. Along the way, I tried to see what phrase could encompass everything that is in the Bible. So every day I'll be thinking, what can we find in this Bible that will just, in one short word, will encompass everything? One day I came across that phrase, God is love. And I said, that's all it's all about. God is love. God is love. So he gave his only begotten son. And I realized that God now spoke to me that I don't tell lies. We must get to that place where the word of God is yes and amen. It's simple. I gave an example somewhere that if we're all working in an office and we close by 6 and the boss is not around and he sends a note, I'm going to be late, I'm at a meeting, please close and go home by 6 o'clock. We're not going to say unless I see the boss before we'll go home. We would act on that note. And that note is the word of God. So today we have the word of God. So we have fellowship with God, the creator of heaven and earth. His son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And his Holy Spirit. Man, a spirit, living in this body and having a soul. So man has spirit, soul, and body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, he tells us in this book of Romans, he says, the way God showed his love towards us was that while we were yet sinners, we didn't deserve it. It must be clear to us. We were yet sinners, we were helpless. He gave us that grace of bringing us to life. Then he now says, we were his enemies. In 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So you can imagine reconciling your enemy with such a great sacrifice. Your own son. Your enemy. And he brought us back and made us one with him. So we have the atonement. Then he says, if we were reconciled in such a way, we shall be saved by his life. I want us to keep that word in our minds. We shall be saved by his life. So we've been reconciled. And what is the next thing that keeps us going? That saves us. Now that we've been reconciled to God. His life. Nothing else. The life of God in us is what keeps us going. That's why he says we rejoice in the hope of glory. Paul describes it better somewhere else. He says, and what is this hope of glory? Jesus Christ in us. So can you imagine, as we sit down here today, the King of the universe, the creator of everything, is in our midst. Is this your reality? Is this my reality? Or do I just overlook it? And I'll tell you why it's so important. Not only is he here with us, Jesus Christ, the one by whom all things were made and for whom all things were made, is in us. Individually and collectively, he's in us. So what does that make us? Are we ordinary? In this same 1 John, he says our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Why? That our joy may be full. So we come back to joy. Some of us have tribulations. He says we should glory in those tribulations. Why? Because the person with us, we can boldly say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But what if I'm facing a tribulation and I start looking everywhere? I don't look to the greater one. I forget who I am. Yes, that's it. I forget who I am. The Yoruba people have a saying. They say, "Ranti omo eni ti won se." No Yoruba man. Oh yes, Yoruba man. It means you should remember whose child you are. You see, we so easily forget. Because we're in this world. And it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but renew your mind. You see, the world wants to conform you. It wants you to go in its way. And he says, our fellowship is with the Father. Now, if I came to the UK and I had fellowship with the Queen and Prince Philip, and I gave you my address as Buckingham Palace, and I had breakfast with the Queen, dinner with the Queen, lunch with the Queen and the King, and I'm on first name basis with Prince Charles, I'm sure people will say, oh, this man is in such a wonderful position in life. But here I am, I have fellowship with the King of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth. Sometimes I tell people, I say, what if a Boeing 747 jumbo jet, I entered one from New York to 5 seats, London, and I said to myself, will this thing be able to take off? Because the number of people that were in the plane, the size of that plane, I was afraid. I said, will this thing take off? But imagine if that plane landed in front of King Solomon's palace. Maybe there was a runway and the plane landed, boom, and he saw a plane in his own time. He was the wisest man on earth. What would he think of it? But God knew, and he knows what we would even be doing in another 200 years. By that time, maybe the jumbo jets will be like a chariot with horses. They will have something much more fantastic if Christ tarries. So we see the power and the concept of God. He knows the beginning, Adam and Eve, to the end. He created the earth, keeps everything in place, and we have fellowship with him. What are we doing with that fellowship? Do we trust him? Are we enjoying that fellowship? Or are we allowing trials to take us away from that fellowship? Now, some of us need jobs. Some of us need medical treatment. But back to that same analogy, if I was living with the Queen, would I get the best doctors in the UK or anywhere in the world? Would I find it difficult to get a good job? Now, it says that your joy may be full. So we go to the next leg. In John 15, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, the book of John. It's so important that we keep on reminding ourselves. John 15:1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husband's man. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That is a promise from the King of the universe. But it has conditions. Abide in me. It says, herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciple. So it gives glory to God to see us happy, to meet all our demands. He's a loving Father. I saw a photograph of the children of the President of America in the Oval Office playing around while their father was on his desk. And the children they felt comfortable in their father's presence. This is the King of the modern day world, the greatest power in the world. And the children could feel free. And that is how we are. But if we don't see it that way, we'll be easily distracted. We'll be going about our medical problems. We'll be going about our financial problems. And we are saved. I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm talking to people who have accepted Christ, who have known Christ, who believe Christ. They are believers, have been justified by faith. Now he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. God wants his joy to remain in us. Brothers and sisters, it is the barometer, joy. And that your joy might be full. Not only remaining in us, but being full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So again, we see the emphasis on love. The emphasis on love. This is the commandment. And it's the message in 1 John. 1 John, the Apostle John is talking of the same thing. He tells us three things that will steal our joy. Sin. He makes it clear. Sin. And he tells us that Christ was made manifest to destroy the works of darkness. And if you remember that Jesus is saying, I'm the branch and you are the vine. He is the vine and we are the branches. He's telling us that we're one with him. Brothers and sisters, if we meditate day and night on this, that Jesus is the vine and I'm the branch, his life is in me. If that can really become your reality, there's a difference in your life. There will be a marked difference. The power of sin will go. Because it was for this reason Jesus was made manifest, to destroy the works of darkness. And it tells you that he that is born of God cannot continue to sin. But these days we see a Christianity whereby it tells us that sin is normal. So it's as if Jesus never won the victory over sin. So we all expect to sin. And we all continually sin. And we all continually repent. Yes, there is an advocate if we commit sin. But then he goes on to say that we cannot continue to sin. He that is born of the Father does not practice unrighteousness. Then he tells us the second thing. He says the world, the pride of life. You can see that there's always a determined effort. I'm posh. You are not posh. But luckily for us, we have the word of God. It says, men of high estate, men of low esteem, all together on the waist, they are nothing before God. So we know the word of God concerning that. God places each person in his own place for his own purpose. God could easily have made me the son of the king of Bahrain or the son of the queen of England if he wanted to. But he chose me to come at a place and time when he wanted to. So I'm content with where I am. Discontent. Pride of life, lust of the flesh, I want this, I want that. Then, pride, do you know who I am? I preached the other day, 5 dead people came to life. So, and Satan is very good. He is the most subtle of all the creatures. He deceived Adam and Eve in that close fellowship with Jesus and God. He was still able, I don't know whether it was one day or over a period of time, but he was still able to make them to lose all those blessings by doubting God. We're called to live by that life that is in Christ. And what does that mean? We avoid sin. We avoid the world. And he gave us the third one. Love one another. And this is what Jesus Christ himself said. Now, Jesus Christ now tells us that there's a no new commandment. It's still the same old commandment. And this is the commandment, that you love one another. Over the years, I didn't have the privilege of maybe a church that was very good in doctrine. So when I got born again, I was concerned about living a holy life. But I saw that I was consistently failing. Then God in his mercy revealed to me that I'm raised up with Jesus Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ at his right hand. I'm accepted in the beloved. God now made it clear to me that Christ has presented me to him, holy, unblameable, irreprovable. I'm a child of God. He loves me. I'm perfect. I'm complete in him. There's nothing I could add to it. And all I depend on is that work of Christ. And I keep that picture in my mind. He's the vine, I'm the branch. His life is flowing through me. He's the king. The kingdom of God is within me. And he's my Lord. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I am one of the faithful brethren in Christ in Tower Hamlets. Faithful, full of faith in Christ. Not in any other thing. Full of faith in Christ. Not in any other thing. Not in my knowledge as a lawyer. Not in who I am or what. No, in Christ. And the commandment then goes forth. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, Jesus Christ told us. That's number one. With all your heart. How would I not love somebody when I was dead who raised me from the dead? Gave me his own life and made me a member of his own household. Not just a member, made me a child. No longer a servant, but a child. He says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. So I have to love him. He's so good. In Romans, it tells us that he has poured out his love in my heart by the Holy Spirit that was given to me. So we come to the parable of the talents. I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. All that is Christ is mine. His love is in me. What am I doing with it? Do I bury it? And complain. I don't have enough money. I don't have where to live. He says, glory in tribulations. Count it all joy. Now, I've forgotten who I am. So, the joy is gone. The enemy has stolen the joy. And once the joy is gone, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And once there's no strength again, what happens to the believer? So these days, we see a Christianity that is fashioned towards the world. How I get a bigger house. How I get a bigger car. How I get a bigger position. Even the churches are competing with one another. But the Bible tells us that comparing themselves one to another, they are altogether foolish. There's no competition because each person has his own definite, where the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has given us his life. He has given us his love. And he tells us that faith is the coin. That's the beginning of Romans 5, talking about Abraham. We're justified by faith. Everything is by faith. We must trust this God. And that's how we get into that kingdom. Now, if the enemy steals our faith, the easiest way is the foundation. He makes sure that there's a stress between you and the brother. So you can't forbear with one another in love. Like Pastor Mark said this afternoon, the servants who had been forgiven this great debt, and he went and captured the other servant who was owing him a lesser amount and threw him into, and I never related that parable to myself. But one day God was kind enough, he revealed to me that I'm that servant. I was dead in sin and trespasses. He died for me, paid the price. So what could you do? What could faith do? What could anybody do? What could Brother Henry do to me that I won't forgive? Then he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So the quickest ticket to hell, and our pastor said it this morning again, A lot of times, believers believe that their problem is from God. I mean, from Satan. No. In this kingdom of light where we're in, it's made clear there are two kingdoms. You cannot be in both. If you are in the kingdom of darkness, Satan is your king. We've never been free. You have a master at all times. And the earlier you submit, the better. In the kingdom of God, we submit to God's love. It was very well dealt with by our pastor this morning. And he's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. Why should we say no? So with this position in our hearts, we find that every day is a day of joy. It's a day of thanksgiving. It's a day of praise. Because all things are ours. He has not held back anything from us. He has not held back anything from us. And if I decide, in Deuteronomy 28, I think it's Jeremy 28:47. I think I'll round up for now. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. And then it goes on to list all the things that will come. So a lot of believers think that their problems are because of the enemy. No, in the kingdom, a friend of mine, I was telling him, he says, no, I don't believe there's any God who will send anybody to hellfire. God is a good God. The concept of a wicked God. I said, but you are in a good UK and you're a citizen of a good UK. Why do they lock you up if you commit murder? Why do they lock you up when you steal? Why don't they say the UK is a good government? They don't do that. There are laws. There are laws. So, faith, which is our ticket, works by love. And the minute we appreciate and know that God has given us love, God has given us a measure of faith, we're now in the position of the parable of the talents. What are you doing with what God has given you? Now, it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. A lot of us say, I am just mere human. No, you are no longer a mere human. You are a partaker of the divine nature the minute you accept Jesus as your Lord. You are now a partaker of the divine nature. You have these promises that makes you. He's the vine and you are the branch. You are one with him. Why are we afraid to take this position of being one with Jesus? And I ask myself that question. Wouldn't that revolutionize my life? If I see my... Because it's the truth. That's what the word of God says. It says he is the vine and I'm the branch. Why am I afraid to take that position? Why do I always separate myself from him and see him as different and me different? He's made me one with him. He's told me that I am saved by his life. And it's that eternal life. And in conclusion, 17:3. The book of John. 17:3. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He has given us eternal life. He has defined eternal life. Now we know that his love, God is love. Now we know that God has put that love in us. Now we know that we cannot please him without faith. And now we know that faith works by love. And if we see that we are not having joy, we're not walking by faith, or our faith is not working, like Sister Mary said, claim it and take it. No, that's not faith. But faith of trusting God, if we see that it's not working in our lives, then we should go back to this foundation. Am I walking in love? Do I love God with all my heart? Have I totally committed my all to God? And then do I love my neighbor as myself? There is no way we can go on as Christians and expect to bear fruit without this foundation. And I am beginning to see that that is why the book of Acts 2:42. First of all, Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord. All with one accord. Were citizens of heaven. I might not see your heart, but God sees each and everyone's heart. And we can't hide it from him. In 42, he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They continued. There's another version that says they devoted themselves to prayers. Brothers and sisters, I'm praying and asking God to grant us the grace. Because this is what we're trying to do here. Devote ourselves to prayers. So that signs and wonders, many signs and wonders, were done by the apostles. They were not done by Jesus. But if you remember that Jesus is divine and they are the branch, they become one with him. They were done by Jesus. And this is what we need in these times that would evangelize this whole neighborhood. And so we have to now search our hearts. That love that God has poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter, he says, having fervent love for one another. He doesn't say love. Fervent love for one another. So I pray that the Almighty God will grant us the grace to know that this is our life. Praise the Lord.